We hope that you enjoyed that. I'm going to call Barnicio up here in just a moment to begin preaching, but first I want to introduce him and his wife. Barnicio Curitan is just one of those guys that is almost instantly likable. We just really bonded from the beginning, and that's one of the cool things, guys, about being on mission. When you're on mission and God brings you different places, you get to meet some wonderful people that are co-laborers with you for the gospel. And so I got that privilege back in July to meet Barnicio, and his wife Lucretia is here with him today. And once again, let's give them a hand and give them a hearty Hillcrest welcome. We are so glad that you come here today. I need to just kind of give you a little bit of background again about Barnicio and about the ministry he has. He is the pastor of Light of Christ Church, which is in East St. Louis, Illinois. And it's a church plant that is it's 4 years old. Is that right, brother? Been there 4 years. And they are reaching lost people in East St. Louis, but also meeting needs, because East St. Louis is a very needy area. And God is blessing them and has blessed them with a building. And I've got a clip I want to show you that'll kind of fill you in on the details, and then I'm going to call Pastor Barnicio up. But I just want to say before you see this video that what I love about Barnicio is he is a preacher of the word. He's going to bring it today. But he's also a pastor. He's a shepherd. He loves the people that God has called him to, and he is doing a great job ministering and discipling. And his church is part of our SEND strategy, as the North American Mission Board is planting churches all over the United States in urban areas so that we can reach pockets of lostness for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you watch this clip, and then I'll call Pastor Barnicio up here and begin to preach to us.
When you think about St. Louis, most people don't think of our side of the river. When you look at Metro St. Louis, you look at the arch, so you're looking west. We're inviting people to look east.
I'm Barnicio Curitan from East St. Louis. I pastor the Light of Christ Church. My mission is to share the light of Christ in this community. When we first got the building, the sanctuary was a mess. Lights were gone, holes in the wall, walls were wet, carpet was damaged. We have years of spiritual loss, de-church people that have, in a sense, been forsaken.
God's using Barnicio to do some very amazing and exciting things. He is very indigenous to the people he's trying to reach, and they want to know why he has hope like they don't have hope.
I see people who need not only the love of Christ, but food, clothes, shelter, and a hand up.
What really spoke to my heart here was the fact that I was able to worship without being judged. You know, I just felt myself here.
Several churches have come together to help us get the building where we can even operate in. It's great to be a part of an organization that's Christ-centered and that have the heart of God.
What I want churches to know about IBSA is that we're here to serve the church and to help the churches that God has given us to make a difference in the lostness of this incredible state.
Churches together can help churches like ours share the love of God in our communities.
This love that God shows us is the kind of love that gives life.
Be a church that's making a commitment to send someone to help sow the gospel and plant a church in all the many, many places that we have needs for new churches.
God is using us to shed a light in a dark world. So that's the joy of knowing that your work you're doing for Christ is paying off.
There is a big changing me, and I just let them know that it's my light from Christ that's shining in me.
Advancing the gospel by sharing the light of Christ, it's my mission, it's our mission, Illinois.
Pastor Barnicio, come and share with us, my brother.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. love you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. We honor God for his power, for his presence. Amen. Now quit looking at me like a fish out of water. Amen. We thank God. Will you do me a favor and help me thank God for Pastor David? You guys have a wonderful pastor. Amen. And his lovely wife. Amen. Amen. Thank God for him. Amen. My wife is here. Lucretia, amen. My prettiest half, my better half. Amen. Thank God. You know, every fat guy needs a pretty wife, okay? Amen. So we thank God for being here. I promise not to hold you long, but I want to convey a message to you today that will be life-changing, that will help you to see Jesus at his best, man at his worst, and why he needs Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God. Pastor Brown makes me sound like such a great guy, you know. I am. Amen. I want to thank God for him. Amen. And I want to tell you something, you know. You guys have a great pastor. He's a very likable guy. And like he said about me, almost instantly. Such a humble man. Such a man who knows that without Christ he can do nothing. Amen. I want to thank God for him that even when things seem a little tough or things would come and happen that would make you be like, oh my God, amen. He kept cool. Amen. And he stayed the course. And so we thank you for that. Amen. And we're very appreciative for you having us here today. I promise not to hold you long. If you would look with me, Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel. Now, in my study, I read verses 35 through 41, but I'll just read verse 35. Amen. Now, do me a favor. I like to tell you, do this favor for me. Now, I'm not back at home, okay? And so back at home, I'm not really conscious of the time when it comes to preaching because, you know, I'm black. You know, we just do it, you know? But I know, like I got my wife sitting over there. She's like, you know, not all day, Barnicio. They don't stay in church all day. So, all right. So I won't do that. Amen. I want to... Before I start, I want to thank you all for allowing your pastor to come. Amen. You know, it's not every day that church planters get to meet sincere senior pastors, guys who don't mind getting their hands dirty. Amen. And I want to tell you that your pastor, he worked and he labored for those times, not only in physical work, but with our children and in a society or community where we like Pastor said this morning, where fathers are absent of the home and women are raising children by themselves and maybe not in the best of situations or circumstances. Every now and then God will send a man like your pastor to touch the hearts of young boys. Amen. And I want to say to you that those two young boys who recovered that phone for you, they ask about you all the time. And they were so excited that, you know, hey, something bad happened to this man and he still wasn't angry. You know, he kept his cool. And that might be small to some people, but in our community where boys don't really get to see real men at work, I mean, that's a blessing to them. And so they ask about you all the time. And so preferably they'll get to see you again this summer. Amen. Then Brother Steve was there. Amen. And he's a great guy. He has wonderful stories. If you've ever got a chance to listen to his stories, he has wonderful stories. Amen. Life-changing stories. So we thank God for him. Well, I don't want to hold you long with a bunch of talk. I want to preach this gospel to you today, and prayerfully it will help you. I want to read, and I like preaching at fancy churches, you know. You get to see the stuff in there, you know. Like that. Amen. Let's read the word. I'll read it to you. And the scripture says, in the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Let's read verse 36. When they had sent him away, the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. Check this out. People that have been with him for so long, they say to him, carest not that we perish. Verse 39 says, and he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40 says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey? May God have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and the doers of his word. I want to talk to you this morning about what I call, what manner of man is this? Let us look at our text here. We see in verse 35, Jesus is in the ship, and they take him as he is, and they say to him, he says to them, let us go over to the other side. As I studied this account in Mark's gospel, I saw three things. These three things I want to talk to you about today. The first thing I want to talk to you about is a problem. Many of us know what problems are. If you've lived long enough, you've experienced a problem or two, maybe four or five, six or seven, maybe even 10, you know, or maybe you've even had a problematic life. The second thing I'd like to talk about is a predicament. And then the third thing I'd like to talk about is a question. The first thing we find in our text this morning is we find here that in verse 37, Jesus is on the ship. He's on his way to the other side. Jesus has just got done preaching and teaching and healing the sick, and there are many people thronging him. And I want to pause right here and tell you that there is no way to ever encounter a true and the living God and stay the same. Is there anybody that believe me? Now, here's what I tell the people at my church. I'll tell you the same thing. If you say amen, if you wave your hand, clap, or say something, that's right, preacher. Nobody will know the preacher's talking about you, and everybody will feel like you're all right with God, okay? Okay. And so Jesus has just got done doing a whole bunch of things, no doubt working in the lives of people, miracles after miracles, and he's made ways after ways. And isn't it funny? Isn't it just like us today in life? Where we are doing everything that we feel God has called us to do. We're doing everything that we know to do. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, up pops the devil in our lives. Right there, somebody should have said amen. All of a sudden, right out of the blue, you know, you're coming to church, you're doing everything, you're paying your tithes, you're singing in the choir. Can't pastor sing, he sings really well. Doing all kinds of things, and all of a sudden, the kitchen sinks fall out of it. You've never had a moment in your life where you've been doing everything. You know, maybe it's at home that the devil pops up. Maybe it's at church the devil pops up. Maybe it's at work the devil pops up. Maybe it's in your relationship the enemy pops up. But I want to tell you today that God does not allow trouble in your life to show you up, but he allows trouble in your life to show you who you really are in him. Because one of my friends, he always said, problems don't come to destroy us, but they come to make us. And I like to tell the church in East St. Louis where I pastor, what don't kill you will only make you stronger. So here it is. Here it is. The Bible says a fierce storm. The Greek word here is seismos. It means shaky, and sometimes it's translated to mean earthquake. And I want to just pause here. I promise not to hold you long, but have you ever in your life gone through something so bad, something so crazy that it just shakes your world? Maybe it's in your family, again in the church. Sometimes, if we'll be honest, the problems come, they come in the same form all the time. They just come different times and with different people. Am I right about it? But these problems are sometimes so strong that they cause us all kind of hell in our lives. So when I did this study, I thought about where God calls me to pastor. A lot of my friends said to me, they said, Barnicio, you are crazy. You have lost your mind. Why in the world would you stay there? Why would you live there all your life and then church there the rest of your life? You are cuckoo, man. But the truth of the matter is, if we all run from our own backyard, if we all run from where God would really have us, anybody in here ever had God to ask you to do a hard thing? Isn't it easy to do simple things like write your check, put it in the bucket and come to Awana and send your kids? Isn't it easy to do that kind of stuff? But when God tells you to do something hard, it's like, wait a minute, Jesus. Hold up, wait. Now you told me if I love you, that's all I had to do was give my life to you. Now you're asking for something else. Anybody have a moment where God spoke to you and it was something out of the norm and you thought, oh, are you talking to me? Maybe that's for sister next to me. It's really not for me. You can't. You know me. You know that's nothing I want to do. You can't be talking to me. Well, today I submit to you today that God is asking us all to do the hard thing, and that's to stand the test of time. That's to stand in turbulent times. Sometimes we have things that happen in our lives. It makes us feel like the whole bottom is just falling out of our lives. And then growing up in East St. Louis, the pastor asked me to talk a little bit about the ministry, where you guys can get an understanding of how different it is. You saw just a few pics here and there of the clips in there. Amen. That wasn't a lie. Nobody drew that. That's exactly what it is. And sometimes it's so bad in East St. Louis, it appears that it could be a third world country. It's just that bad. Many things are going on in our community now where we have mothers who are raising children by themselves. These are problems. These are earthquake-like problems in the lives of single mothers. The Lord gave me to start a single mother's ministry at our church. We have a shelter at the church that it's really funny how God allowed the association to be there, and Pastor Brownlee be at the time. When we got the building that we moved into, it was an old school, and we never thought that we would be doing homeless ministry, because, you know, our church is not that big and we're not established for that. And we really, you know, we didn't set out for that. And when we bought the building, would you believe that there were people living in the building, women with children? There's no lights, no gas, no water, nothing. And people are living in this building. They're living in the building. We go through the building as we're trying to purchase it. We're looking at it, and you go and you're walking through a room, and this is a great big old building, and you hear something moving, and you look around, there's a kid and his mama. There's a lady who lives in the building before we got there. She's got brain cancer, and she's got two little boys, and the little boys are semi-slow. And so what do you do when you're faced with problems like that? What do you do as the man of God when you go into a building and you've got senior citizens living in a school with nothing in it? They're backed up in little nooks and crannies like this. And you know, yeah, you know, if you're me, you know, you go through and you look and you're like, I cannot believe this is true. This can't be real. Now, here's the funny thing I tell people. I grew up in East St. Louis, and so I knew what East St. Louis was like, but you know, you get a different picture of stuff once you become a man or a woman. Once you grow up and you mature, you get a different outlook on things of that nature. And I'm going through this building, and I come home and I tell my wife, can you believe there are people living in this building? Check this out. As a man of God, everything in me, here's a problem. I go to the city, I say, listen, we're trying to buy this building, but there are people living in this building. Put them out. Put them on the street. I mean, the truth of the matter is it was just like living on the street in the building. It's cold, no food, no beds, nothing. And so, you know, sometimes God will ask you to do a very, very hard thing. I'm saying, God, I just started this church. We don't really have any money. We don't even have people to come to the church with money. The greatest job is my wife. And, you know, and I can't, you know, hey, I'm a man. I can't take her money to take care of people. You know, how does that make me look, right? And so I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? And so one day I got up. I said, well, you know, I'm just going to have to ask everybody to leave. You know, and I ask people, hey, do you have family here? Do you know people here? And they like, family. Do you know I call people's families? And they said, we can't deal with them. We don't want them. We don't have any room for them. We can barely make it ourselves. I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. So what is the little young boy preacher to do? So I pray to God. I say, God, if you give me the strength, I'll take care of him. Now, mind you, I have a wife and two children of my own, a house that I have to pay for. And how am I going to feed these people? How am I going to clothe these people? Do you know, after about a month, Jesus spoke to me and said, this is a good problem to have. I'm like, are you serious? This is a good, I have to worry about at least 20 other adults and their children. What kind of, how is that good for me? And so I begin to pray. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't do anything without prayer. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have a prayer life, you are out of order. I'm going to tell you something that's probably why you face many troubles that you do, is because we skip over prayer time. Because, oh, we'll do it at night. I'll do it before I go to bed. The Bible says man ought always pray. I mean, even before you conversate with your wife. I get out of the bed sometime. I roll over. The first thing I do is hit my knees. Wife's getting ready for work. I'm on my knees. I was going like, would you cut that light off? I'm still not woke yet, but I got to pray. Man ought always pray. There ought to always be conversation between you and God. That gives us our motivation for the day. It gives us what we need to do. And so I begin to pray and ask God what to do. And so I start going around collecting beds and sheets and things like that. And how is it that, you know, a mother doesn't want her kid, young lady, 16 in the building, mother just left her for a man. Now, mind you, I'm probably going to get some tear jerks out of you guys today, and that's what I want, because it seems to me that it'll settle on your heart. Here's a 16-year-old girl who mother leaves her all alone in a building full of people that she don't know, but she gets up every morning in the same clothes, and she goes to high school. When I find her, say, hey, you live here too? Yes, sir, I stay here. You're not going to put me out, are you? No. Can I tell you, she had 2 years of school left. She finished those 2 years because of our church, because of the people in our church, the families in our church, or the people that God allowed me to run across. We were able to send that girl to Baltimore. But check this out. The funny thing is, have you ever been dressed by your father for prom? I mean, I dressed a girl for prom from head to toe. They were like, Pastor, this is just wrong. Let us do it. You know, I had the girl in high water dress, you know, all of that. Hey, we got her through school, right? Sometimes God will put you in positions to see what you're going to do. And so this was a problem for me because, hey, I'm overwhelmed, God. And sometimes we have problems on our jobs, problems in our homes, problems in our families, in our relationships. But I want to tell you today that sometimes God causes problem in your life to reveal to you who he really is in your life. And so I want to encourage you today that if you're having trouble in your life, think about this. It could be worse. It could be worse. And so thank God for what you do have. Thank God for where you are. A lot of times we allow the spirit of pride, and maybe sometimes we allow the spirit of selfishness and other things to take our lives because we feel we should be certain places, or we feel we should be further in life than we are. But isn't it wonderful how God will remind you that it's in him you move, you live, and you have every fiber of your being? Isn't it funny how he'll tell you, I know you got trouble going on right now, but thanks be to God who gives you the victory. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So check this out. I like to stay in line with the text. Check this out. How is it that we follow Christ all of our lives? We've lived for him. And then the moment trouble comes in our lives, we start questioning God. I know you said you'd never leave me. I know you said you'd never forsake me. Why on earth am I on a topsy-turvy sea and you're on the boat with me? Why? Sometimes God just has to shake us up. And this might be a word for somebody here today at Hillcrest. God is shaking you up. God is shaking your world up. God is trying to get you to do more. He's trying to get you to trust him more. He's trying to get you to lean on him more. And I submit to you today, there is no good thing that he'll withhold from them that love him. So the next thing I saw in the text is a predicament. Now, being a former teacher and my wife being a teacher, sometimes you can't say words without you know, looking them up and saying, you know, what they really mean. Cause, you know, preaching to teachers, and I heard there's a lot of teachers here. You guys are like, you know what? We're going to see if he's talking correct English, you know? So check out, I took the liberty to look up the meaning, of predicament. And this may help you without even having to, ponder over it. Check it out. It says a difficult, puzzling, or embarrassing situation from which there is no escape. And I know if we all be honest, we found ourselves in some situations that we just could not get out of. You don't know how you got in them, but you don't know how you got out of them either. Or you don't know how you're going to get out of them. You know, you wake up in the morning and the car won't start, but you know you got a good battery. Or once you get the car started, then you go up the road, and this has probably never happened to you guys, you know. You go up the road, and then it shuts off on you. Then you think to yourself, now, wait, one issue after another. Or you've done some things, and here's what I run into in East St. Louis. I run into people who've gone through things, and they're embarrassed about their past. They're embarrassed about things that they've done in their life. But I submit to you today that Jesus said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. No, we don't like the sin. We like the sinner. We love on the sinner because he said, he who wins souls must be wise. And so I run into people who are embarrassed about their life. There's a lady in my building now. She's got two kids. She's a single mother. And when she talks to me, she never holds her head up. And I say to her, hold your head up. She says, well, Pastor, I've done so many things in my life that I'm not proud of. And I don't see how you would even, a man of God, take the time to talk to me. Well, I want to tell you something. If it were not for the grace of God, we all would be something. The Bible says some of us are liars, cheaters. And I know none of you all here at Hillcrest because Pastor David is, you know, he's pastoring a great bunch of people. But the Bible says such were some of you. And if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, that's what Israel said. So now may we say, if it had not been for the Lord, they used to sing a song growing up in our church that said, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we'd be like a ship without a sail. We'd just be stuck. And I want to tell you, sometimes you're going to come up against some moments in your life where you're just going to be stuck. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He'll pull you out of that situation. And so some of us have had embarrassing situations in our life. Some of us have had moments in our lives where we didn't know what we were going to do. Check this out. In verse 38, after the wind beats upon the ship, after the waters break into the ship, we see here somebody gets enough gumption to say, hey, why are we wrestling with this? Jesus is on board. Have you ever had a moment like that where you're scuffling through life and you realize, why am I doing this? Jesus is with me. He said he'll never leave me, nor will he forsake me. I just need to take some time to speak with him. And that's kind of the moment I had at the building. I thought, how am I going to do this? I start panicking. I'm sweating. Have you ever seen a big black man cry? It's bad. My wife says it all the time. She's like, just calm down. Don't cry. It's not. My daughters get to cry and they have this piercing cry. My wife says, see, that's why I don't like for you to cry. You sound just like that. I'm like, I can't be that bad, right? But you know, sometimes we're going to face some things in our lives that are going to make us cry. It's going to make us want to throw in the towel. It's going to make us want to give up. But I want to encourage you today that no matter what you go through, no matter what you see in your own backyard, God is always with you. He's never going to leave you. He's going to always be there with you. Now, I know all of us have issues in our lives that we can't do. But I want to tell you today that you can wake up Jesus in your life. You can wake up Christ in your life. Well, Pastor Kirtan, what do you mean? Some of us, we don't pray until we get in trouble. We don't fast until we're too fat. We don't give until we need things. You know, we don't come to church on a regular like we should until something happens in our lives. Well, I want to tell you, I'm not the kind of pastor that condemns a person for missing church a lot. You know why? This is what I tell them. You know, one day I'm going to pull up to this church and you'll be sitting out here and you will have been here at 6 o'clock waiting for church to start at 10 because something is going to happen in your life so bad to push you to Christ. And I believe that the world we live in today take God for granted because they know that he's a good God. They know he's the kind of God that won't leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be there to rescue us. And so we take him for granted. thought about this particular point when I think about East St. Louis. I always think about Matthew when he says, when I was hungry, you fed me not. I was naked, you clothed me not. I was a stranger, you didn't do anything for me, you know. I was in prison, you didn't come to see me. Somebody says, you know, we have smart alecks in the body of Christ. We have people who think they know more than Jesus, you know. Well, Jesus, when did we see these things happen in your life? He says, hey, when you saw it and you didn't do anything, what you did to the least of them, you've done it unto me. And that's really my portion here today, is because when I could have given up, the Lord spoke to me and said, what if it were your mother? What if it were your sister? You remember growing up and couldn't get the finer things like the other kids. What more if I care about the sparrow? What more then do I care for my people? And I want to suggest to you today that we're all going to find ourselves in predicament, in puzzling situations that we don't know anything about, we are not going to know how to get out of. But I want to tell you today that Jesus will help you ride every storm you go through. Every storm that you face, he'll help you to ride it. The last thing I want to talk about is a question. I've got a question for you today, Hillcrest. Actually, two. Can you trust God? And can God trust you? Let me say that again. I have a question. I have two questions. Can you trust God? Can you trust God that he's going to keep his word, keep his end of the bargain? But can God trust that you're going to keep your end of the bargain? Can God trust that you're going to do what he asks you to do? Can he trust that you're going to go where he asks you to go? Can you trust God? And can God trust you? Check this out, my last point, and I'm done. There's a question asked in verse 31 after the people see Jesus get up out of his sleep after he calms the storm. People are amazed. Have you ever just been amazed at the wonder of God? Have you ever just been amazed at how God touches you? I look, and every time I'm in an issue or a storm at the church, it amazes me how God will send somebody through to help us get through what we're going through. Right at the point where your pastor came, the man from the city came down and he wanted to shut the building down. He wanted me to put all of those homeless people on the street. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm real soft to the things of God, but I'm a man. He's standing there talking to me. Yeah, you're going to put them out. You're going to give them this. They got to get out of here today. And I said to him, I said, sir, I'm not the little boy you knew 20 years ago. I'm a grown man. You're going to quit wagging that finger at me. And just when I was about to go there with him, your DOM walks up to me and he says, hey, brother, don't let it fluster you. Don't let it get you. God sent us here for a reason. Minor things. You know, I'm all about safety, so we had a chain on the door. He wanted me to put all the people out because there was a chain on the door. He wanted me to put all the people out because the fire extinguisher didn't work. Are you kidding me? I had the conversation with him standing in the middle of the floor. I said, what if it was your mother who needed to be here? What if it was your child that needed to be here? East St. Louis has no shelters. We have nothing to help our people. And the Lord laid it on my heart to be a help. Let me tell you what happened, and I'm done. I was 19 years old. I've been preaching since I was 9 years old. My mother would take me to a field on the local main strip, and she would set me a lectern up and a little speaker, something like that, and a little microphone, and I would just preach for hours and hours. And the people would stop, and they would look. They would say, oh, look at this little boy. You know, this little boy's preaching. When I got 19, something happened in my life that caused me to say, no more I, but the Christ that lives inside of me. Not my will, but your will be done. Growing up in East St. Louis, you saw all kinds of things. And one day I went to an old folks home, not too far from where I lived, and there were 200-300 apartments in this building where all seniors lived. And I went and knocked on the door one day. And I was preaching Jesus, and I was asking people, do they know Christ? And if you didn't, did you have a few minutes for me to talk to you to invite you to Christ? And I knocked on the door, and an old man came to the door. He had to be about 75. He knocked on the door. He came to the door, and I was trying to tell him about Jesus, you know, a little bit like the Jehovah's Witness. I was a little a nuisance, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, I'm trying to win a soul for Christ, you know? So I'm on everybody's door every other day, and he comes to the door, and he says, "Hey, son, how are you?" "I'm doing great." And I begin to talk to him about Jesus. And something at that moment happened that crushed my heart but then helped me to make my mind up. At the same time, I was trying to talk to him about Jesus, and he stopped me and he said, "Son, this is a wonderful thing you're doing." He said, "But I just had to make a choice between paying my light bill and eating." Blew my mind. He said to me, "Son, and I would love to hear about this Jesus that you're talking about, but I can't hear you and my stomach at the same time." Oh my God. I thought, I've got to do something. But at 19, you know, anybody ever been 19, fresh out of school? You don't have no money. You got no money at all. My mother gave me our old car. I'll never forget it. My friends called it the Bi-State. It was a probably like a 90 Chevy Lumina. It was white on the outside. It was a four-door. Everything in the car was burgundy. The steering wheel was burgundy. The seats were burgundy. The dial on the gauges was burgundy. Everything in the car was one color. And right at that moment, I had the opportunity to show this man the love of Christ, or I could just keep preaching Jesus, shoving Jesus down his throat and knowing that he was hungry. And I want to suggest to you today, we can preach Jesus all day long, but if we don't meet a natural need, people will never hear the Jesus that we preach. I'm going to say it again. Maybe I said over here, Pastor David has a pretty large church. Let me say it this way. We can preach Jesus all day long, but if we don't meet a natural need, people will never know. Jesus said it this way. He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, not by the length of your hair, not by your degrees, not by your status in life, but the love you show to somebody else." I said, "Sir, would you do me a favor and get your things and come with me?" "Where are we going, son?" "I'm going to take you to get something to eat." Now, when I was 19, I can't even remember what a McDonald's burger cost back then. I'm sure it was probably not even a whole dollar. But he could only get french fry and a McDonald's and a cup of water. But, hey, I fed him for the day, you know? And he's there. He's eating. And he's now listening to the gospel. Right there in McDonald's, I won a soul for Christ. I thought, oh my God, this is the lucky day of my life. A man come to Jesus for a McDonald's sandwich. It's funny, but let me just tell you. Simplistic revelation will take us to heaven. We're looking for rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. And Jesus is just saying, do the work. Can I trust you to do the work? And if I told y'all until the day that man died, he was a Christian. All because a 19-year-old boy went out of his way to take his last $2 or $3 to feed him for Christ. I want to tell you something. Think it not strange when you all send people over the world, support missionaries and canned foods and all this kind of stuff. You're touching people's lives. And I want to tell you something. The world we live in today, somebody needs their life touched. Somebody needs to know that Christ loves them. Somebody needs to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And none can come to the Father except by him. The easiest thing in the world to do is to talk about it. There's a saying in East St. Louis, and they probably say it here too. Don't talk about it, be about it. And I want to say to you today that if there's a question about what's going on in your life, I want to tell you Jesus has the answer for it. I want to tell you if there's a question about whether or not I'm doing enough in ministry, whether or not you're doing enough in ministry, whether or not you're helping enough, whether or not you're giving enough, whether or not you're supporting enough. If you have a question like that in your mind, you're probably not doing enough. It's the truth. I tell the people at our church, don't ask God to bless what you're doing. Do the things you know God is blessing. He blessed those who look out for his people. He blessed those who come to church. He blessed those who are supportive of their local churches and missions. He blessed those who have given their hearts, mind, body, and souls to him. I want to suggest to you today that Jesus is the only answer for the world today. The only answer for the world today. The only answer for the world today. As I get ready to take my seat, I want to say to you that we are very appreciative for your pastor. The truth of the matter is, he didn't know me from the next candy bar wrapper. Amen. But when he came, it wasn't, I like to say this everywhere I go, because obviously most churches I preach at now, being a part of this organization and going around in places, like, if my wife's not with me, I'm usually the only black person in the room. So I say this all the time. Heaven will look like this. It won't just be a bunch of black people. It won't just be a bunch. Heaven will be a colorful arrangement of Christians. My daughter, Christian, she's 5. It doesn't matter. Anytime I'm taking her to school, every morning she asks me a question. She says, "Dad, what's heaven going to be like?" I tell her it's going to be fun. Then she says, "What is it going to look like?" I always say, "It'll look like you, baby. It'll be pretty. It'll have a taste of me in it, because I'm your daddy and I made you pretty." She always says, "Who's going to be there?" I love this part of the question. This is the question she asks every morning. She says, "Who's going to be there?" I said, "Those with clean hands and pure hearts." And if your hands are clean, that's wonderful. If your heart is pure, that's wonderful. But remember, faith without works is dead. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I want to encourage you all to continue on. Amen. Continue to support your pastor. Continue to support the work that he does. I'm going to say this to you and I'm done. You know, Baptist pastors, they say it 3 times before they're actually done. They tell you they're going to be through before they're actually through 3 times. I believe this is my 3rd time. Anybody counting? Why are you counting? I believe this is my 3rd time. I want to say to you today that you don't get good pastors all the time. You don't get men that are selfless all the time. But you guys have a selfless pastor. I witnessed something in our meeting time when he came, something that would have just shocked people, and they would have thrown their hands up and said, "I'm done. This is too much for me." You know, because if you're out of your element, you know, things happen. You'll be like, you know, hey, not going to happen. A little boy in the meeting stole his phone. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm always for discipline. I like discipline, you know. I'm the kind of man that if your kid is playing too much around me, sit down, little boy. You're in church. Sit down, little girl. You'll get your butt and whooped. You know, that's me. I'm a disciplined kind of guy because, you know, hey, my mom, you know, I didn't get many whoopings because I was afraid. You know, my mother didn't play, you know. Belt, extension cord, you know, you all call it child abuse, but we call it get you in line. You know what I mean? You know, and I'm mighty afraid that they stop that whipping stuff. That's what's wrong with our babies now. You know what I mean? And so I'm the kind of guy that, so when they came and told me that Pastor David's phone was taken, deep down inside, I was like, okay, somebody's going to take something from my friend and embarrass me. I hopped in my car. I took the 2 guys and was like, "We think we know who has it." I took them in the car. Now, get this. I'm a packing pastor. I'm in East St. Louis. Say what you want. I love the people. I've never had to shoot anybody. But, you know, if you're going into the projects alone, you need the sword and your shield. And if you guys have ever watched Tyler Perry's Madea Family Reunion, you know I have that peacemaker, you know. It passes all understanding. You don't understand what's going on, this will help you, you know. And so I get to the apartment where, it's a funny thing how God works. I get to the apartment where the young man is said to live, and knock on the door, and his mother comes to the door. And I'm looking at this lady, and I'm going, "I know her." East St. Louis is so small, everybody knows everybody. You know, it's like going to Cheers. "I want to go where you can, you know, everybody knows your name." And I open the door, she's like, "Barnicio." I'm like, "Yeah, this is not a social visit. Your son took my friend's phone, and we want it now." She's like, "You know what? I'm going to whoop his butt. I told him nobody gave him that phone." So he comes down. He's looking really crazy. He's like, "Pastor, I can't come back." I said, "You can come back. But you keep your hands off people's stuff. I'm going to beat your bottom, boy. I'm going to beat your bottom real good." His mother's like, "Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Beat his butt now. Beat him now." So, the good thing about that is that you guys have the kind of pastor who has the kind of tenacity that says, "I'm not about to go home. We have one more day. I'm going to finish this out. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't." I said that to say this. That instant showed me that there are children who hear the truth, know the truth, and want to live in truth. Those two young boys that said, you know, hey, growing up in East St. Louis, they had a phrase, snitches get stitches. You don't do no telling. No. You don't tell on anybody. And then those boys said, we know who has this phone. And to this day, those boys ask about your pastor. It's not because his phone got taken. It's because of what he exemplified in the face of what could be a bad situation. He didn't talk bad. He didn't say crazy stuff. He said, well, you know, maybe the Lord will use this as a moment to teach the children. And can I tell you, it did. Those two young boys ask about your pastor all the time. When's Pastor David coming back? I don't know. Y'all might have run him off. And so I want to pray. I want you to do me a favor. I know Pastor may have a way that he ends church or after the preaching. Well, will you all do me a favor and let us all stand to our feet. And there's a song I like to sing after I've challenged people through the word of God. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say my storage is empty and I am available to you. Now I'm giving back to you all the tools you gave to me. My hands, my eyes, my ears, my voice, so you can use them as you please. I have emptied out my cup so that you can fill me up. And now I'm free and I just want to be more available to you, Lord. I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable them to say my storage is empty and I am available to you. Our Father and our God, it's some more of your humble servants coming. We first want to say thank you for all the many things you've done for us. Thank you for all the marvelous ways you've made for us. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for how you've kept your hand of protection on us, God. I pray now for the Hillcrest Church, God. I pray for this pastor that you will continue to keep him on this journey, his wife to continue to be his backbone, this church, God, to continue to hold his arms up high, that miracles, signs, and wonders may happen, God. Thank you that we're going to be the august body of Christ that will do your will, God. We say if you send us to the hedges, we'll go. If you send us to the highways, we'll go, God. We pray that someone was touched by your word today, God. Someone would make a challenge to themselves and say, I must do more for the kingdom of God. Someone will be blessed by your words, God, that they'll understand that when troubles come in their lives, they can depend on you to rescue them, God. Or even God, somebody might be going through something today, God, and they might say, God, I didn't know how I was going to handle this storm, but I thank you that this young man told me that you are a storm chaser. And that when I've got problems, predicaments, and questions, I can come to you, for you said in your word, come unto me, all you that labor and the heavy laden, and you'll give us rest. God, somebody might be in the room today and they need rest. God, as Pastor David stands in the altar, God, they might want to come, give their life to you, God, because they understand that it's in you they move, they live, and they have every fiber of their being, God. We thank you today. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to such a great body of people, God. Thank you that your word won't fall on a deaf ear, God, but it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God.
If you would just remain standing, Brother Keith is going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. And you've heard God's word declared today. And what is on my mind right now and on my heart as I offer this invitation are the two penetrating questions that Pastor Barnicio asked in his message. And they need to be on your minds right now because they impact each and every one of us in this room. And question number one is, can I trust God? Some of you have real struggles, real burdens, real trials you're facing today. Can I trust God? You can trust Him today. And you may need to come to this altar and pray and seek His face right now or leave something with Him. The second question is even more penetrating, is, can God trust me? God has given you skills and abilities, spiritual gifts, experiences. He's brought you to this church. He's put people around you. You have a sphere of influence. Can God trust you? Because to whom much is given, much is required. That's the invitation today. You do as God leads. Brother Keith, come and lead us.